Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a football Friday, and it's wild because this week, and partially because you had the Monday night game, so it's a short week, but also because of gestures, hands wildly, It's been so hard to actually focus on the Niners. We will get to that, obviously, once we get there. But, like, I'm still looking backwards because What is happening with this organization right now, John Lopez? It feels like you know, this organization where we knew that the offense was not up to snuff, but we, for a long time this year, we were looking at this offense and going, well, that's the thing. If you can figure that out. In fact, we, at some points, we might have narrowed it down to If the offensive line can block, then you have chances. Now I'm looking at it and I'm like, is there a disconnect between the upper level, like the levels of management and the rest of the team? And that does not bode well for the remainder of the season. Talk less of this Sunday game versus the Niners.
I could tell you, but I prefer Cool Hand Luke to tell you.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
All right, that's it. Failure to communicate. Failure to communicate. What is going on with this squad? And it's not even just the offense. It's not just the defense and Derek Stingley. And it's not just the special teams. It's all of it. What is going on? I mean, people toss that phrase around a lot. What's going on here? It is so appropriate here because it's one thing if the offensive line has a disconnect. And you know they because they got the turnstile at guard.
It's because we've come to expect it from the offensive line, which is laughable in and of itself.
Yes, that's one thing, and we've kind of honed in on that. Then we get yesterday, and you know, well, 2 days ago, I guess it was 2 days ago, D'Amico talking about, or maybe three, D'Amico talking about, you know, the get your hands on them, all that stuff. Derek Stingley was asked about it, and what did he say?
Let's hear it. Hey, Derek Stingley, the head coach said that the game plan going in was getting the hands on him, and it felt like that didn't happen. Can you give us your side of this?
I feel like any corner, you know, likes to be at the line. But I'll never do nothing outside of what the play call is. So if the play call tell me to be off, I'm going to be off.
And that includes the shadowing as well?
It includes everything. I can't go out there and do my own thing. So, and I've never done that. That's not who I am.
Appreciation of Landry Locker getting that in the locker clubhouse during open clubhouse.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, basically they're playing tennis. He said this, I'm gonna hit it back at you, big guy. I mean, it's incredible, absolutely incredible.
How much of this, and I ask this just to kind of set up the conversation further, how much of this does it feel like is just losing? When a team is losing and has been losing for a little bit, right? As it feels like this season has been, you're 2-4. How much of this is that? And how much does this feels above that? You've been around a lot of teams in various different sports, and I'm sure you've seen some losing locker rooms. Like, how much of that is this, and how much of this is something else entirely?
I don't think it's a telephone game. I really don't, because it was very clearly stated by both sides you know, what was expected and what was done, and I'm not going to go outside of what the play call. That points to Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans.
I'm glad you mentioned Matt Burke because, again, as we're trying to suss out what the bleep is happening here, how much of this do you maybe look at as we're starting to see this disconnect with the defense that felt like it was well congealed, and that happens after play calling duties were given to Matt Burke? Not that I'm blaming him, but maybe is that where there could be a difference in communication, or, you know, something lost in translation from, you know, game plan to actually, you know, what the calls are and how the play actually evolves on the field?
Don't you think that would actually lessen that factor? Because if before it was D'Amico calling it, talking to Matt Burke. Now, maybe it's still valid because D'Amico's talking to Matt Burke still, and Burke is making the call. But there's only one voice going into the green dot. There's only one voice that goes in there, and it stops with, what, is it 12 seconds, 15 seconds?
15.
Yeah, left. So I don't buy that. This is, to me, about communication, disconnect, and you can take it to Nick Caley talking about Nico Collins, too. Like, you know, the fact that I guess it was DJ Bieniemy, asking him about, you know, all these players.
Oh, we're going to need more time to get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
You know what, let's do that here in this next segment, because I think that's a bigger offensive conversation that, again,
but
when we talk about it.
But it still feeds to this.
It does. It absolutely does.
And then there's even Frank Ross, our beloved Frank Ross, talking about Braxton Berrios. Well, it's mix and match.
Let's hear for Frank
Ross. It's mix and match.
Let's hear for Frank Ross. This was him trying to give us some explanation on why Braxton Berrios came off of being a healthy scratch a whole bunch and immediately took not just some of the snaps, but all of the return opportunities from Jalen Knoll.
How did you arrive at the decision to go with Berrios at punt return instead of Knoll?
I don't think there's a decision to go with anybody. I think every year you guys have asked me, hey, how do you feel about returners in training camp when the roster's at 90? We mix and match every returner that we have. Tremont, Damian, Jalen, Braxton, Christian Kirk, all those guys have taken reps for us. It doesn't matter of which game or what timing or who's available. I mean, Jalen was our starting kick returner last week. So he had six or seven blocking reps on kick return because they kicked opposite. So, you know, it's just about play for play, however that shakes out.
That's just not accurate. You know, a coordinator's job is not to mix and match. Because didn't he say at the beginning of the, it's not about who's going? Yes, it is. It is about who's going to return the kick.
I found that.
Yes.
Kind of amazing.
It is about that. And D'Amico Ryan says, even when it comes to the offensive line, we're going to find our best five, we're going to get them some reps, and that's our group. Well, that didn't happen. Now he's saying the same thing in special teams?
Yeah,
we're mixing and matching?
Even going back to, yes, I know that you have guys that you feel comfortable allowing to return.
Yeah.
And I can maybe even see, hey, we need to maybe make a get some level of change up if we need to, you know, create a spark if something's not there. That's not the case. Jalen Knoll's returned well when you've gotten him, given him an opportunity to return. And you've had options to mix and match prior to this. What made this particularly the time to do it?
It's week 7, Reggie. You're mixing and matching. You're rotating guards. You're not getting communication done on the defensive side when it comes to coverages and how you're going to defend, the best receiver in the game.
You know what I like to call it? You're searching. What's funny is that you're searching even in places where it felt like you already had an answer, which, again, when you're searching for something, it makes it seem like you're lost.
Well, the other thing is, and I thought of this earlier, you know, we talked about what if David Culley had said what D'Amico Ryans said earlier about the identity of the offense is to move the ball. What if the Browns were doing this? What if the Browns were saying mix and match and, the communication is off. We'd all be going, yep, it's the Browns. It's what they do. Not the Browns, it's the Texans. They were contenders, presumed contenders.
Honestly, this is one of the places where I know at times we can kind of lament the idea that the national media does not pay enough attention to the Texans. It's probably a good thing right in this moment because this would be laughingstock of sorts.
And
this is why it's going to be very important for you to come out and comport yourself properly on Sunday. In fact, I want to continue digging into this because the offensive side of this, Nick Caley stepped to the podium and the answers that he gave were probably the most interesting in this continual miscommunication situation. So let's dive into that. What the hell is happening with these Texans? We continue talking about that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a Football Friday. We're continuing this conversation because the Texans organization as a whole, or the team at the very least, seems like it's in this weird flux coming off of this Seattle Seahawks Monday night game. There's a lot of he said, she said. And interestingly enough, like what we're hearing is there's a lot of finger pointing from the ranks of the coaches. That continued yesterday when we heard from the coordinators. We were just talking about Frank Ross giving answers that felt very different than what we would typically hear from Frank Ross. And then Nick Caley was obviously the main attraction, as offensive coordinator has been oftentimes when we get a chance to hear from him, but even more so because after better showings in five quarters, right, one versus the Titans, then in the four in Baltimore, after a bye week, you were hoping to see a little bit of improvement, and all you got was regression, point blank, period. And so questions popped up about that, and some of the answers were, well, not some, a lot of the answers, if not all the answers, were frustrating, I think, is a fair description. One of those being, I think, DJ Bieniemy at ESPN was asking, particularly about Nico Collins, right? This is your biggest weapon, and it feels like early on, not even feels like, you can go back and look visually with tape and all 22, or even statistically, they're not doing a lot to generate open looks for him. It's really go and get it out the mud yourself. Nick Caserio was asked about that, and this was
Nick Caley.
That's a lot of Knicks. Nick Caley actually, you know, this is his response to kind of being challenged on why does it feel like you're not utilizing more things to assist Nico Collins, including motions and such.
Yeah, I mean, we move Nico around. I mean, he doesn't sit there and play primarily X. I mean, I think if you watch the formation, we do not, you know, he moves around. And I think each week is different based on what we're trying to get from a coverage structure standpoint, what we can do from a pass concept standpoint. So to put it in one box is probably not fair. But no, we try. Nico is a big part of what we do. And we try to get him involved every single game. There's not a week that we ever don't try to do that.
So we move him around putting him in a box is probably not fair. The problem with that is look at him, and DJ did a good job of this as well in his tweets, compare and contrast with other receivers in the same spot. It is not normal. It is not what offensive coordinators do with their best weapons. I can't quote the numbers off the top of my head. You may have them in front of you, but he had eight, I believe, motion passes.
Correct. He had eight instances of being used.
And most of the motion. Other number one wide receivers have 30, 40, 60. I believe I saw one with more than 60 motions already this season. That's not normal. And ultimately, Reggie, what I feel about this, I've said this before, and it's not a compliment, but I feel bad for Nick Caley. He's in over his head.
Yeah.
He's in over his head.
That's abundantly clear. I mean, there's more audio. I think DJ did a great job of continuing to ask, like, you know, Nick Caley about schematic. Basically, are you creating schematic advantages, running those plays? And just like you heard there with the Nico Collins, it felt defensive. And I understand why he would be, right? This is very much a challenge to, are you capable of doing this? And the natural inclination would be defensive. The problem is that is not helpful in this situation, right? Like, I think Nick Caley himself has said, right, we need to be honest with ourselves. That's been something I've heard a few times, that generally when you hear it said gives you, at least for me personally, gives you confidence. Except words are not actions. And right now the actions feel like, no, I will not be honest with myself and recognize that we are not doing enough here. And ultimately, all this he says, she said, we can go back and forth on what this means. For me, the big thing about it is you've got a game that you need to win on Sunday against a defense. That's solid, right? It's not perfect by any means, but that's solid, and that's playing a little bit better brand of football. even after losing the heart and soul of their defense. They got a win last weekend, and it was in large part, because that defense rallied and played really well despite injuries and such. You're going to need to, possibly without Nico Collins, find a way to create advantages. And not acknowledging the problem that exists means that you're never going to solve it, right? Like, that is something that is just point blank, period. In any stretch, a situation in life, if you are unwilling to acknowledge an issue, you cannot solve an issue, because what issue?
Right. And again, it points to bigger problems. But let me go back. One of the things that C.J. Stroud said day before yesterday, and we didn't play the audio. It was just one of the ones that we were listening to and watching. There was a point where he was asked about like what it takes to get the offense going, something along those lines. And one of the first things he said, and then he just went into other things, so it didn't really stick, is he said something about, we have to have tough conversations. Remember that?
I do recall.
He said, tough conversations, then he went on to some other stuff. And that has to be about Nico Collins, right? About getting the best player open, or at least part of it.
I think it's cute that you feel like you can isolate this.
Or at least part of it. At least part of it.
About Nico Collins, and not about the fact that you have so many miscommunications line.
It has to be part of it. But then it also leads to my bigger point here. Like, this is not normal. What is going on with the Houston Texans, and we talked about it in the last segment, defensively, the Stingley stuff with D'Amico, the special team stuff, mixing and matching. I think he said 6 or 7 returners we have. What? 6, 7. I see what you did there.
That was just going to be a visual gag, but you turned it into an audio one. I appreciate you.
Yes, and then Nick Cady talking about this and other things. This is not how a normal, functional NFL team operates. That is the bigger problem. They don't – that you want to be – at least, if not a well-oiled machine, at least, structurally sound. And this is not structurally sound.
No. I would like to play a little bit more audio just to be mad for myself.
Mm-hmm.
This was Nick Cayley, talking about kind of the play calling that happened Monday.
It's not like we go out there and run blanket concepts to every cut. We're trying to hunt things up and put ourselves in position to play the coverage structures that we're going to see from week to week. And that varies, obviously, from team to team. And then when it comes to execution, there's core fundamentals. There's, in the pass game, there's some pure progressions that give you options versus a multitude of coverage. You look at the landscape of the league. A lot of teams are putting a dome on coverages. It's not like it was 5 years ago where you sit there and say it's 85% post-safety zone. And when it's split safety, it's Tampa 2. Like, that doesn't exist anymore in the National Football League. So you have to have the other ways to be able to hunt things up. Every week that we go into it, we're trying to find out exactly what they're doing, what their structures are, and being able to go attack it. And when you talk about schemes and you talk about the Ravens game, for example, and play actions, I'd love to run a lot of play action. Again, we have to stay on schedule. We have to do a good job on early downs. That's not just the passing game. That's the run game. That's the passing game. And it also affects the play action game too. And in your 7-step jam protections and stuff like that, where you can push the ball further down the field. So that's, obviously we want to execute. We didn't execute at a high enough level, again, across the board in general, and we got to get better at that.
And you want to know where I hear him being out of his depth, right? It feels like he was in some ways overcompensating with, no, let me show you. I know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But then you get to a point where you go, we would love to run these things.
Yeah.
But I can't, because we're not in the right circumstances. Buddy, it's the NFL. There's a lot of teams, or literally every team, is trying to take you out of the circumstances to do what you do best.
Right. And
it is being competent at your job and capable of your job to be able to rise above and find ways around that. And so just being able to be just rather giving us an answer that basically surmises down to, well, we just got to be on schedule in order for this to work. Every week we watch numerous football games where teams are not on schedule and able to make something shake. And it's not just individual brilliance.
And then the other thing that bothered me here is, and this is, you've heard this from D'Amico a lot. Certainly you just heard it from Nick Cayley. In a very passive aggressive way, he puts it back on the players. We just got to execute. We're telling them the right things. I know football. I know what to expect, but we just have to execute. That's a very, very much, and D'Amico's done that. That's a very passive aggressive way of just saying players ain't doing it. Players aren't doing it.
What's crazy is I felt like we had that conversation last season.
Yes.
With the coordinator, and where players aren't doing it.
Right.
That was the whole Bobby Slowick thing, where players ain't doing what we're told or what I'm telling them to do.
And then on top of that, how does that explain, you mean they can blitz? Remember earlier this week they're saying, well, we didn't expect them to blitz. We weren't,
CJ.
CJ talked about we didn't, that's not something we prepared for. Well, what? He just said, you know, all these things are possible. It's not the old NFL anymore and all this other stuff. And we didn't expect them to blitz.
Right. And so there's multiple levels to this because in some places, yeah, the talent level that you have is not good enough. Offensive line is one of those places where we've talked a lot about it. That goes to the you know, talent acquisition portion of this. In some ways, you also are now creating this, you know, this finger-pointing war where coaches are pointing to players. Players are going, I'm doing what I'm told, right, in some ways. And my big thing about it is, even if we ultimately suss out who is right in this, and I think we have our ideas and our thoughts, but let's even leave that to the side. How is this beneficial in with a team that is 2-4 that is looking at a really tough stretch of, although home games, tough games.
And, right? and good defenses.
These are the times where you absolutely need to be in one accord. And as much as they said, we're all in this together, it doesn't feel like it.
No, that's what's
not even close to
feeling. It's not normal things going on in all three rooms.
Yeah. And I just can't get over last season how y'all say, they wasn't doing what they was told. And I guess allegedly that's why they got rid of Laramie Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a better vibe and, you know, energy and all that stuff. And it seemed like it's the same old bleep.
Yeah.
And by the way.
Do we got to throw all the players away at this point?
By the way, this we talked about it during the break. This game got much bigger. It's gotten much bigger in the wake of everything that's happened this week and what happened on Monday night.
It's a little more tight now.
Yeah, it is.
What, you talking about just the games? Or are you talking about the Nico Collins of it all?
The communication issues, the disconnect. Yeah.
You're trying to overcome.
And you facing Matt Jones.
And you get worked again, it's going to be a bleep show.
Right, you're trying to overcome a short week, seemingly a lack of communication or some breakdown of communication. A team that is in San Francisco that's, you know, coming off of you know, a little bit of a win for the Gipper type moment. There's a lot of things that are going to be standing opposed to you at NRG Stadium at noon. At least you're at NRG Stadium at noon with the friendly confines. I also wonder, is the fan base disillusioned to the point where you're not going to get some of the boost of being at home? I'm very, very intrigued by this football
Niners
game.
Niners travel, too.
And for none of the good reasons.
They travel, and I ain't going to lie, the media members sound a little ticked off, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They sound like they're a little bit over
this. They might be getting some information, you know, from the locker room, too. You never know.
Quite probable. Probable. Happy Football Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports
Here we go.
Radio 6. Here we go, indeed. All right, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, because the big news of yesterday that took over the sports world was the FBI's probe into what they called Operation Royal Flush.
Love it.
Where there was a whole bunch of, there was a gambling ring.
It's like the Bourne identity stuff.
Yeah, there's a gambling ring. There's, legal poker and all sorts of things that also pointed to some maybe possible game fixing or things of that nature, which causes people to look at games sideways. So question of the day, what's a game or outcome or moment in general that you're still skeptical about? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a Football Friday indeed, but the basketball world is lighting things up and not in no good way either, as the FBI probe, Operation Royal Flush, has come to light yesterday, and it's been catching a lot of people's attention. Like, you're right, man. I will rightfully say when I'm wrong, man. Adam Silver's got a huge problem on his hands, because people are looking at a lot of the game sideways. Because, I mean, you can look at documentation. Terry Rozier has actively had instances where he's taken himself out of the games and, like, made, kind of affected the outcomes of games in order to help gambling. Damon Jones has given proprietary inside information out.
Like the definition of inside information.
Right. It's this insider trading of sorts.
Who was this boy, by the way?
LeBron.
Well, it was a player. I can't remember what the designation on the paperwork was, but all of the information seemed to
LeBron.
Track.
I saw LeBron. That's what I saw.
No, LeBron. Yeah.
No, that was his boy, though.
100%.
They played together.
They 100%.
They played together. He was on a coaching staff together.
And a voluntary coaching staff. Somehow he wasn't a paid employee, but was always around the team. And the players kidded around, called him the butler.
Yeah.
They called him the butler.
Right. And so, like, there's a lot of information that makes people look at games sideways, especially with that hindsight. So with a little bit of hindsight, what's a game or outcome or moment when it comes to sports or otherwise that you're still skeptical about? 713-572-4610.
Hey, remember the playoffs last year when Will Anderson made the mistake of putting his hands on Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, how dare you?
Anything Patrick, remember he kind of hit him, and we actually kind of, not argue, but we talked about it, went back and forth. Like, his face mask may have touched the bottom of Patrick Mahomes' face mask, but he basically just put his hands on him.
Mm-hmm.
Roughing the passer, first down, we're going to go ahead and kick a field goal on this drive and then take the game the rest of the way. Anything involving Patrick Mahomes these days, a lot of people are skeptical.
Yeah, the Kansas, yeah. You can wind that out to the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. People have a healthy amount of skepticism about that. I will never, like, it's the one that sticks with me the most, but I'll never not look at that. I talked about this actually, I think, last week, mm-hmm. 0.4 seconds. Derek Fisher getting off a shot. that one sticks with me. But maybe one that came up on the text line that I appreciate. You remember Rams-Saints? Was that NFC Championship game?
Oh, the pass interference?
The pass interference that wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said that one. And funny enough, that's not the one that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
Because that happens. The entire state of Louisiana gets, you know, in their feelings, and I understand why.
The NFL says we're sorry.
Although they go and, like, they start doing litigation. I'm like, don't be such dorks, right? However, they do all that, and then the NFL's like, you know what we got for you? We're gonna make pass interference reviewable.
Yeah.
And I'm skeptical of the fact that when none of them, like, I don't know if they review or they change ever any pass interference.
I don't know
calls.
If they did.
Nah, they did.
The next year.
I don't know.
Like, I'm very scared. I feel like the NFL was like, here, does this make you feel any better? Mm-hmm. We're not changing anything, though.
Yeah.
We're just going to make it look like it. Yeah. Does that make you feel better? Like, I feel very skeptical on the fact that the NFL was like, yes.
Yeah.
Replay review on pass interference. That'll get it right.
Yeah. The one I think about, it actually just happened recently with the Mavericks getting the number one overall pick.
Oh.
After winning, like, what, 39 games
That's
or something crazy?
One. Yeah.
Man, this fueled the fire for everything that's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand how you look at all the gambling stuff that's going on and then look at that like, no, they got integrity. They wouldn't do anything like this.
It started with Patrick Ewing. By the way, you will not convince me otherwise.
Frozen envelope?
You will never.
You're really in on the frozen envelope, huh?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Keep in mind of the era and what they needed and David Stern, Mr. Marketing Whiz and all that stuff. Oh, look, there's a cold one. I wonder whose name is in that.
I've seen people go with the Cooper flag this past.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've seen people talk about the Wemby.
Yeah. I'm just surprised more people aren't talking about the Good Shepherd School chili cook-off last year.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah. And if you weren't listening earlier, I'm actually entering it. The next event is tomorrow. I'll be putting my chili in there. Should have won last year, but the judge, the ultimate winners, were the judge's boyfriend and two kids.
Just a great family lineage of chili cookers.
Of chili cookers.
100%.
That always looks sketchy, man. 100%. No matter what.
Just it looks bad, right? From the 713, Buster Douglas was down for 12 seconds, they say. Shout out to Houston out there. I can understand where you go there. I mean, actually, was it Bradley Pacquiao? I mean, you get
There's
to a lot
of
fights.
There's a lot of boxing ones.
But yeah, Bradley Pacquiao, the first one, when they, I mean, I was like, okay, so we're just trying to put together a series here. Because ain't no way.
Yeah.
Did they have Manny Pacquiao winning that first? I can't even remember what the outcome was, but I remember I was hot. Mm-hmm. So hot that I left out of, I think at that point I was at my grandmother's place. I left out and I had to go for a drive. I was just like, I need to go clear my head. Because ain't no way what I just saw was actually what happened.
Speaking of boxing, man, that first Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Wilder lost that fight, man. But they won. I think they didn't even pick a winner. It was a draw.
Yeah.
So they were setting up for part two and part three and all that stuff. Yeah.
Boxing is just dirty. It's just inherently.
Dirtier. That might be dirtier than the NBA.
Well, now we can argue that. But no, I think it is. It's just inherently dirty. The one from way back, you know, you guys were just babies. I don't even know if you were born, Reggie. Colorado got a fifth down. You remember
I recall this. I remember seeing about this.
They got a third down, and then they got a third down, and then they got a fourth down, and they finally got it. Then they finally got it in there. I was like, "Come on, man, let's go."
I honestly, I understand the skepticism there. I feel like they really did forget. That's wildly embarrassing. Someone wanted to call to task a hometown guy, or not a hometown guy, but a man who played here in Houston. Somebody said they want James Harden investigated just for playoff performances.
Oh, the shooting?
Somebody said they just want they because like I always thought though that James Harden suffered from trying to be the Iron Man where he just never took days off.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are the central figure of this offense. It is heliocentric in that everything runs through you for 82 games,
mm-hmm.
and then we get to the playoffs when everything goes up. Of course your legs are going to eventually fall, fail you, ain't they?
Yes, but here's the thing. Everything about the NBA is going to be scrutinized like that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Without question.
Well, yeah.
Without Everything. Question. Yeah. And what's tough is that there's probably some things that are worth scrutiny, and there's probably some things that are just sports are dumb sometimes, life is dumb sometimes.
Yeah.
All of that's going to be
But it's going to be scrutiny.
Sometimes it sometimes it seems like it's so obvious, too.
Right.
We're just like, man, this person never had a bad game ever.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's just thinking it up and don't know how to shoot.
Do you see the highlights circulating of
Terry Rozier?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Throwing it into the stands and stuff. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, and now I can't even just do the joke of, oh, he's point shaving, because, like, might could actually be. Yeah. Might actually be point shaving. A number of people bring up Rockets Warriors Game 7, the Scott Foster special. In fact, you could take this wider. Mm-hmm. Just Scott Foster, when he shows up, here comes the extender, as they like to call him. We're taking this series further. There is more validity to all of those jokes now here on the table. Some other ones that have come in. I mentioned the James Harden, Mavs getting the draft pick we talked about. Somebody said Rockets missing like a whole bunch of free throws.
I thought they're, was it the 17 straight three-pointers or?
Well, they said free throws.
27, but, whatever it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the threes rather. Yeah, but
That was.
You think the Rockets would be invested in going along?
No, that was, as they were just bad.
Yeah, it's like as a team.
Yeah.
Cutter getting the World Cup over the U.S. was blatant. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That was dirty. That
of course.
Was absolutely dirty. And of course, Sean mentioned earlier, way back, I was 10, 11 years old. I think it was 10, was the 1972. We've all seen the highlights, you know, the Olympic basketball where they put more time on the clock.
832 Lakers King series was rigged. What was that? Oh,
that one.
Early aughts. I can't remember what year specifically.
That was the Robert Horry game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler and Ed Reed need to be investigated for stealing money. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then somebody was just like, oh, 92 Oilers playoff game. Somebody feels fishy about that. And then somebody said, the whole Ohtani thing. And you know what? I understand your skepticism, but that's one that I'm willing to let go because he seems to move like a gangster, and I can't really be too mad about that. All right, question of the day. Appreciate you guys rocking with us in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Where did you actually learn anything from Thursday Night Football? And we welcome in B. Scott. We'll do it next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.